Happy to call this home. If you're a kid, you know that movie. And if you're a grandparent, you probably know that movie, or a parent of some young kids. But that's from the movie Ferdinand, which is about a really cute movie about a gentle bull. That's right, a bull that's gentle. Now, the point of that song was about this idea of home. And it strikes a chord, I think. It strikes a chord in each one of us, because each of us, we have a longing for home. For home. When you think of home, what do you think of? What is home for you? Or maybe another way of asking it is this: what is home for you? What is home for you? I think for most of us, home is not just a place. For most of us, home is a space. It's a way of living. It's a comfort level. As we just heard in the song, home is that place where we feel like finally I belong. Finally, who I am and what I am, I can just be me, and I'm accepted and I'm loved and I belong. Home is that place where you don't have any pretense. Home is that place where the mask comes off. There's no cover. There's no, I'm going to try to be someone so that someone will accept me. Home is that place where you don't put on makeup. Home is that place where you can just be you. And it's that place where you finally belong. Now, for many of us, we search our entire lives for home. We look for that place. If home is defined as that place of belonging, of peace, of security, of I can put my feet up and relax, most of us spend our entire lives looking, searching, hoping for home. Hoping for home. And yet, for most of us, in our chasing for that place of belonging and acceptance, home kind of feels a little elusive. It's a little bit hard. It's like we get kind of pictures of home, and we get a sense of home, like finally that feels like that's what home's supposed to feel like, and we kind of get a sense of it, but it's kind of fleeting, and it kind of disappears, and we wonder, why is that? Why is home so elusive? Now, as followers of Jesus, we have an answer to why home feels elusive. And the answer is this, is because as Jesus followers, we understand that on this earth, we are always going to be looking for home and we won't fully find it. There is an elusiveness to home, an elusiveness to belonging that we just can't really have fulfilled on this side of eternity, that we can't have fulfilled on this earth. Oh, we get glimpses of it. And that's what's so enticing about home, is we get glimpses of belonging and the sense of peace, and yet it seems it just doesn't last. It's not fully there. You know, one of the greatest characters of faith in all of Scripture, maybe the most famously known for his faith, was Abraham. And one of the ways he exercised his faith, most famously, was in this whole idea of home, of belonging, of longing and hoping and living by faith for home. Now, don't get me wrong. Abraham had a home like you have. He had a place that he would have said, that's my home. That's where, you know, my aunt and uncle live. That's where I have cousins and my kids grew up. I mean, he had home like you and I have home. But he understood something about the home that was on this earth, and he understood that it's elusive, and there's something desirable that's beyond what we can actually see. And so he exercised his faith for home, something that was something that he hoped for but wasn't physically visible yet. So instead of just chasing for home his entire life, Abraham decided to hope for home, and he put his faith in the God who would bring him there. So if you have your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, this is an Old Testament story, but we're in the New Testament in Hebrews, looking at the heroes of faith and how faith plays out in different areas and different ways of our lives. And today we're going to see how faith plays out in the area of home. Starting verse 8 of chapter 11, Hebrews 11 verse 8 says this: by faith, and each character kind of starts with these words, by faith, because it was their faith that was exercised, that they did these things, that they lived these things out. And so Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when called, to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though, get this, even though he did not know where he was going. When called, Abraham just obeyed, even though he had no idea where he's going. Now, this is a huge act of faith. I mean, Abraham, he hoped for a place that was home, and God said, I'm going to call you to a new land. And Abraham said, okay, I'm going. And where is it, God? And he said, I'll show you when we get there. In fact, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the story as it goes, the first verse says, God came to Abraham and said, go to a land I will show you. When? Well, I will show you. Just start going. Now, imagine for a second you're a kid, and your dad comes home one day and said, kids, pack up. We're taking off. We're going to go to a place called home. It's going to be our very own, and it's the promised place. It's going to be exciting and awesome, and you're like, wow, we're going to a promised place? This does sound exciting. And as a child, you're already excited, but then you start to ask some questions of your dad. Things like, well, is it going to be hot or cold or dry or humid, or is the school going to be nice? Is there a school? You know, you have all these questions. What are the people like? And to all of your questions, your dad says, I don't know. And you're like, can you show me a map? Can I see some Google images? What, you know, and your dad's like, actually, I don't know. I can't find you anything about the place because I don't know. That would kind of take the excitement away of your travel. And now, husbands, imagine trying to tell your wife this. That would be a whole different conversation, right? It's like, honey, pack up. We're going home. I imagine most of our wives would respond with this. You want me to pack up and go to a place that you don't even know? Honey, we're used to you taking us, getting us lost to places you think you know. But you're already lost before we leave. This is a bad idea over my dead body, right? That's kind of how the conversation would go. I mean, so what we understand is what Abraham was doing was not only a great step of faith for him. This was a step of faith for his wife, Sarah. This was a step of faith for his family, his servants, his entire household. He packed them up, and they trusted not just Abraham. They trusted, they put faith in the God that Abraham believed and trusted in and said he had heard from. This was a step of faith. Faith obeys. We saw that last week in Noah. Faith obeys. And Abraham, even though he did not know where he was going, it says he obeyed and went. I have actually a bit of a real-life example of this in some people that are really close to me. My parents did something like this about 6 years ago. My parents, they do church planting in southern Alberta, and I think 6 years ago, 7 years ago, they were in Picture Butte. They planted a church. In fact, our old chairs are in that church. They were donated there when they planted that church in Picture Butte, which is just by Lethbridge. And they felt the sense that God was calling them to plant another church, but God didn't tell them where. And so this is a true story. My parents' names are Abe and Anna, not Abe and Sarah, so kind of close. But they decided to pack up their holiday trailer, and from Lethbridge or from Picture Butte, they started driving west, and they packed up some kids' material. They were going to run a VBS, but they didn't know where yet. It was the weekend. They packed their holiday trailer, and they just started driving east towards Medicine Hat. And they stopped at towns along the way, and they just said, if God opens a door for us to do a VBS, that's where he's calling us. And so they stopped in towns. They talked to town offices. They stopped in one town office, and they said, they were kind of closed to the idea of us running a kids' camp. And so they got back in their vehicle and kept driving further east. And finally, they stopped in a town, and the town office was so inviting. They were so excited about this kids' camp and working with Mennonites. And they said, you know what? We'll give you a space, one of our buildings for free, and you just come and do this, and we'll help you in whatever way you can. And they said, God, that's the open door we need. And so, you know, but how are you going to get kids? So my mom just opened the phone book, and anyone who had a last name that was Mennonite, she phoned them and said, we're doing a kids' camp. And you know how it works with Mennonites. You just tell one person, and then everybody knows. It's kind of like small towns. And so all of a sudden, they had this kids' camp, and they ran the kids' camp from Monday to Thursday. And get this, 6 years later, there's a church planted in Red Cliff, Alberta, and there's been people that have come to Christ because my parents said, we'll just follow what God is leading us to, even though we don't know where that's going to be. In fact, just yesterday, some of us from the church here went to their jamboree they put on. It's an outreach because Mennonites love music, and so they do a jamboree, and we played some music, and they ministered to some 200 to 300 Mennonites, all by faith, as Abraham obeyed, obedience by faith. And by faith, when God called him and said, I want you to go to a place that will be your inheritance, that will be your home for your descendants, Abraham got up and left. The writer goes on to say, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, his son and grandson, who are heirs of him, with him of the same promise. Now what's interesting is Abraham, called to go to the place of promise, actually went to the place of promise, but it never really felt like home. It's interesting. He had to live by faith, even in the place God showed him, this is going to be your home and your descendants' home, Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel, the land of Israel. This is going to be the promised land. But even as he lived in the physical place on earth that God had promised, he lived as, we're told, a stranger. It didn't necessarily, it was kind of this elusive, where I'm finally home. God, this is the place, and yet it's not really home. In fact, it was so, he was such an outsider that when his wife Sarah died in this promised land, in their homeland, he had to go to the locals and say, can I buy some land because I have nowhere to bury my wife? So he bought a little plot in his homeland because he lived as a stranger in his own land. It's interesting. It goes on to say, for he, that's Abraham, was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. You know, he lived as a stranger in the land, the physical land God had given him, but he understood something about the physical land. That although it was his home on earth, he was looking forward to something even greater than just his home on earth. There was an elusiveness to his home here on earth. Now, the author takes kind of a two-verse detour from this whole idea of home and gets into the whole idea of descendants and these descendants that would live in the homeland. And it says this, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, which means she was old, she couldn't have children, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Sarah also believed and considered God faithful. And so from this one man, and he is good as dead, Abraham, and when he says as good as dead doesn't mean he had no value in his life, and when you're old, you just lose all your value. What it's saying is, in regards to him being able to have children, he was as likely to have a child as a dead person's likely to have a child. That's what that means. It has nothing to do with his value as an old person. It just means that from this one man, and he is good as dead, he's as likely to have a grandchild or a baby as a dead person's likely to have a baby. Came descendants, from him came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And so by faith, these things happened. And later we'll get, you know, the writer will get into a little bit more into Isaac, of the story of Isaac and these descendants that God had promised. But then he says this next, all these, that means Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the descendants of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Which means they had this aspect of receiving the space of the promised land, and yet even while they died, they never fully saw what they had hoped to see. But here's the interesting thing. Death is not the end of faith. And faith goes beyond death. And that's what he says next. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. They didn't receive all the things that were promised them. They only saw them from a distance. In fact, the only way they saw them was with the eyes of faith. Because as we saw in verse 1, that faith is the confidence of things not yet seen. Confidence of things that you can't yet see. And so faith sees things that physically you can't see. And they received these things, but they were from a distance, and they admitted and get this, they admitted they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. Now, this is interesting. The promised land that we all think they were given was the physical land of Canaan. And yet they understood that even while they lived in the promised land of Canaan, that they weren't only foreigners and strangers in Canaan, they were actually foreigners and strangers on the earth. The earth itself would never fully fill their desire for home. For home. They were foreigners and strangers. To be a foreigner in ancient times was really to be the very lowest of the low in society. It was the bottom of the food chain. You had no rights. You had no pride. You had no land. You had nothing. You were on the outside. In fact, William Barclay states that in ancient times, foreigners and strangers were regarded with hatred, suspicion, and even contempt. He said they were treated like barbarians, always on the outside, never belonging. And all these died seeing a home that they wish they had, but not fully realizing it. In essence, it's a similar picture to what we might see, and we don't have a good picture of this, but of refugees, where they just come uninvited, and they take up resources, and they come on the land, and they have no rights, they have no reason to be in their new country. They're just fleeing from an old one, and they're living in this space, but they're completely foreigners and outsiders. You know, that same word, stranger, is used of the Israelites when they were slaves in Egypt and exiles in Babylon. That's the idea. Even in their homeland, the place God had promised, Canaan, they understood that they were like slaves, like exiles, like foreigners and strangers. And here's why they felt that way. Because people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they would have they had left, they had opportunity to return. If they were just thinking of the country they had left, they had opportunity to return. But people who say these things, they show that we want a country of our own. We want a place that we call home. In fact, this was so ingrained in Abraham's mind that we are going to a place by faith that God has given us. That later when Isaac was going to get married and he had no one to marry him, and their way of getting married in that day was to go to your family and find a wife. We don't do that anymore, thank goodness, but that's how they did it back then. And so, you know, when Isaac needed a wife, Abraham said to his chief servant, he said, go back to our family's land, our homeland, used to be homeland, and find a wife for Isaac. And then the chief, you know, said, well, maybe I should bring Isaac, you know, because he could help choose and maybe he wants some say. And Abraham said, don't you dare ever take my son Isaac back home. This is our home. This is, but it doesn't feel, we're strangers and aliens. I know, but this is where God has called us. And by faith, we believe God will make this home. And they had opportunity to return, but they would not return because they lived by faith, even in the place they were. Instead, the writer says, instead they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, it's interesting. Even in the land God promised, there was a sense of, is this really home? Is this really home? And Abraham, even, you know, 2,000 years before Jesus, he longed for a home. A place of belonging. And it wasn't, you know, even as he arrived in the place of promise that God had given on this earth, he understood there is a heavenly home, an eternal home that I long for. And he was longing for that home, that place where God was preparing a place for him. And we see this picture in his kind of physical journey of getting to Israel, where they lived in tents, they lived as nomads, and they were looking for this city with a foundation. Because I don't know if you've ever tented, but when you're tenting, it never feels permanent. It always just kind of feels like we're just kind of in limbo here. And they lived in tents because they understood that they were longing for this city, and in fact, they understood that this earth, living on this world, is like living in a tent. It never is truly home. And we get glimpses of home as we live in our tent. But there's a longing for our eternal home, a place of eternal and permanent dwelling. You know, what we see by faith, what we see about faith from Abraham is this, is walking by faith leads us to longing and living for our home beyond the one we're currently in. The place that we often call home. That walking by faith leads us to longing for a home and living for that home even before we're there. That's by faith. That's living by faith. This was Abraham. This was Isaac. This was Jacob. Living for something that was beyond what they could physically see, because faith is the confidence of things that is not yet seen. And we're still called to this day to live by this same faith. That even though we have a sense of home in this world, that feeling of elusiveness, that it's just maybe not all I had hoped it would be, is because it's not. We were created for something more. We were created for our eternal home, to be with God eternally. And this home on earth is just temporary. In fact, the Apostle Paul would write to the Philippian church, he would write this, listen, our citizenship isn't on this earth. Our home isn't here. Our citizenship, the place where you feel like, yeah, that's where I belong. That's what I was made for. That's my home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And then he says, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Even, get this, even our bodies, and you know this with the aches and pains you have, our bodies long for home. Because this is like a tent. It's not permanent. And there's this desire, even in our bodies, for home, that place where I belong, that place. And so he says, we are citizens. We long in our spirit. We long for home, but even our bodies long for home. And when Jesus comes, our bodies will be transformed and taken from a tent to a permanent dwelling, because we'll be given the same body as that of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The writer of Hebrews would wrap up kind of this whole letter to the church or to the believers that he's writing to in chapter 13, verse 14. He kind of wraps it up by saying this, for here we do not have an enduring city. Here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that's to come. Our home isn't here on earth. We are looking forward to a home that is yet to come. And I want to remind you what's going on to the people the writer of Hebrews is writing to. Remember, they have undergone great persecution, both in the past, maybe under Nero, they've experienced some great persecution, but currently they're experiencing persecution again. And to this church who's suffering and struggling through life, the author of Hebrews says, now let me remind you of Abraham's faith and how he longed for home. And you too, in your struggle in this world, understand this is not your home. And live by faith, looking forward to your eternal home. And this is why in chapter 10, he was able to write, you did this before, you actually received the confiscation of your property with joy. Who does that? People who understand that this isn't my home. You can take my home, but it's just my tent. I'm looking forward to my eternal home. And by faith, you see that. See, walking by faith, it leads us to longing and living for a home that's beyond this one, beyond where we currently are. You know, there's a saying that often goes this way. You know, some people are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good, which has this idea that some people are so, you know, they just think about heaven and they're so disengaged from the earth, which is true for some Christians. You know, they're kind of disengaged from the earth. But I think more often than not, our problem as Christians, or our temptation as Christians, is actually to live this way. We're so earthly minded that we aren't even of any heavenly good. We're so earthly-minded that we forget that we have a home that's coming. We build our lives thinking, this is my home. And we get disappointed when it's elusive. And maybe as Christians, we need to rethink how we're building our lives on this earth. Understanding that everything's just like a tent. It's just temporary. In fact, this body is temporary. And I'm living my life by faith, understanding that God is preparing a place for me. You know, Peter would write to believers, the Apostle Peter, he'd write, listen, as Christians, he used this word, you're exiles. It's like you've been taken from the place. You live as exiles. And then he relates in chapter 2, verse 11, I think it is. He relates Christians as exiles in the idea of to the desires and sinful ways of this world. Live as exiles to the ways of this world. Be different than the world. Separate yourself from the world because this is not your home. Don't build your lives as though in the regards to sin, but also in the regards to dreams and desires. Don't build your lives on earth as though this is your home. This is your home. You know, the challenge for us as we try to live as outsiders in this world is we have every opportunity to go back, don't we? God has told us, Paul said this, your citizenship is in heaven. And yet as we walk on this earth, isn't there a pull in all of us to make our citizenship here? Isn't there a pull in all of us to start thinking as this as our home and forgetting about that place that God is preparing for us? Isn't there a desire in all of us sometimes, whether it's in sin or our dreams or our desires, to say, God, thanks for that home you're building, but it's hard to walk by faith. And we have this pull to go back to our old home, to live as citizens of the earth. And as Abraham told his chief servant, don't you dare take my son back. We are of those who walk by faith. And may that be a challenge for us. Let's not be those who go back to our earthly dreams and sin and the old life, but to be of those who walk by faith and live differently because we're citizens of heaven and long for our home that is in heaven. You know, I think some of us have an advantage when it comes to this idea of home. I'm going to call you farmer types. Those of you that are farmers or have lived in Three Hills your entire life, and your parents lived in Three Hills, and your grandparents lived in Three Hills, and you have this kind of generational tie to the land, and I think you have an advantage when it comes to understanding the joy of home. You understand the joy of home in a way that transient people don't understand, because for transient people, they're just like, I don't have a home. I grew up here and there and there, and now I lived here and I got some people there. And we transient type have a hard time grasping the joy of home. And so you have an advantage in that, but I think there's also a disadvantage that, you know, you might have a stronger pull to make this your home, to be tied to this very place, this earth, because it's been generational, where transient people, they understand, I don't have a home here. And so there's kind of an advantage and disadvantage both ways. But I think regardless, there's a pull in all of us to make this our home. And I think we need to learn to understand that this is a place that is short term. It's like a tent. It's temporary. And I think old people have something to teach us younger people about this. And when I say old, I mean like, I won't say an age, but if you're getting closer to the end, here's what you know about the earth. And I've talked to older people. They understand this. They understand that, you know, I built my entire life here, but it's going to be gone soon. And they start to live and long for home in a new kind of way. Because, you know, the majority of their life is behind them on this earth. And so you start to say, what's next? And all I have next is what God is preparing for me. And I think us younger people that still have this temptation to make our home here, we need to sit down with those that are older and say, what can I learn from you about the temporary short-sightedness of my life? What can I learn from you about home, about longing for and living for a home that has a foundation that will last forever? You know, if you're not a believer and you've been journeying through life and you say, you know, I've been desiring for, I've been longing for home. And when I say home, I've been longing for a place I belong. I sense that there's this elusiveness on this earth. I've been chasing home for years. And I've tried different things and relationships and joys and desires, and I've fulfilled different dreams, and it's still like, it's elusive. It's like, I don't have that place I belong. I want to encourage you, would you think about what God is doing for you? And what God has done for you. And here's the deal. You won't find home until you find God. You won't find home until you find God, and you won't find God unless you walk the way of Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, listen, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. And he said this right after he had told them, listen, I'm going to a place, home, and I'm preparing a home for you. And the disciples all said, well, Jesus, we want to find home. How do we get to home? How do we find that place you're preparing for us? And he said, if you want to find the way to God, it's through me. It's through me. You won't find home until you find God, and you will not find God apart from walking by placing your faith in Jesus. So I want to encourage you, would you consider that? If you've been understanding your need for home, and for those of us who walk by faith, who've put our faith in Jesus, I want to encourage us, would we be like Abraham was? Just a regular guy, nothing special about him, who put his faith in God. And when it came to home, he understood even the promised land on earth that God had given him, he would always be a stranger and a foreigner, because his home was with God in heaven. And that's the promise. That's the hope that he placed his life and his faith in. Let's bow to pray. Father, thank you for home. You've created us to belong. You've created us to belong with you. You created us to be with you. And we will never get the sense of home, of belonging, of peace, of exhale until we're with you. And God, even as we walk on this earth, we have this temptation sometimes to go back to our old home, to live as citizens of the earth rather than to live as citizens of heaven. God, would you remind us what that looks like as we build our kingdoms? That we would disregard the kingdoms of this world and the things that we so often chase after, that we would be building your kingdom, our home with you. We would be those who long and live for you. God, for those that maybe have never experienced home and they feel like it's so elusive and they've never experienced a walking relationship with you, God, would you touch their hearts today? Touch our hearts. May we understand that we walk by faith in Jesus, and by that faith with Jesus, in Jesus, we walk to our eternal home. Thank you, we pray in your name. Amen.